We are live and good morning and welcome. This would be an awesome place to have a church. We just got a full house today. It's just great to have everybody. We want to just welcome you here. We are having, this will be the last day that we are having issues with Facebook. So if you know of anybody that watches us on Facebook, they will need to go to bbsradio.com and watch it live right now. So you may want to text people. If I got all kinds of hate mail last week. It's not from our end. It's California's fault. So they're trying to deal with that. Hey, and I'm sorry, Don, but it's your state. It's not ours because Texas makes no mistakes. If we do, we bury out back anyway. We don't tell anybody about it. But good to have everybody with us today. Make sure you grab some cookies or a kolache. And there's a good kolache today. You know, I'm wound tight. Because when I go to this kolache place, they give you something free every time. So it's like, okay. But he gave me a jalapeno kolache, and that kolache was about that thick around. And I am on fire today. I am just raring to go. This is good stuff. It opened up every pore. My nose ran. I sweat. Everything inside of me is just wide open. So I feel really good. I'm hoping it's the spirit of God, but I've got a feeling it's the jalapeno kolache. But it was good. And for all you people in Australia that don't know what a kolache is, you haven't lived yet. But it's good to have you all this morning. I was sitting there getting all excited last night in my home and thinking, okay, what hymns are we going to do today? And I thought, wait, we don't pass out hymnals. Why do we have to do songs that's in the hymnals? So I found an old book that I had when I was a kid, and you can tell how wore out it is. And I just started going from page one and right on down and thought, hey, these are just good songs. So we're just going to sing songs that you all know. These are those songs that, do you remember when we used to have church and they had all day singing and dinner on the ground? Where you would go out and just sit in the lawn of the church and have fried chicken and sit around and gospel singing groups would come in and just sing all night long. And I don't know if Curtis is too young to remember this, but Centralia was the hub of the all night singing for the Southern Gospel Quartets. And we would go literally at 6 o'clock in the evening and listen to quartet music till about 2 o'clock in the morning when people were tired of singing and we go home. And I just loved, that's what I grew up on. And we're going to sing those kind of songs today. I hope you know the words. If not, we can go to some worship song chorus that will sing the same phrase over and over and over like they do on the radio that I don't know the words to either. But these are just good old songs that mean something to me. The one that I know we all know is Happy Birthday. And it's Kim's birthday today, so we want to say happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kim. Happy birthday to you. One thing about that, if we was on Facebook, we couldn't have done that. They would have cut us off because it violated all the rights. Yes, Kim?
I deleted Facebook.
You deleted Facebook. Well, praise the Lord. It's of the devil anyway. So anyway, I'm teasing. Don't write me letters.
She deleted Facebook.
Some glad morning.
Oh, yeah.
I'll fly away. You ready? Well, that kolache was good.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home where God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by. Days and days.
love that one. That's a good one.
Stuff. You know, because when we come together, for one thing, about yourself and concentrate on Him.
So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him.
Yeah. others that I really like. A little bit later on, like He Touched Me. Remember, oh, He Touched Me. And what a day that will be. You know that one?
Yeah.
There's coming a day, all gearing towards heaven. Heaven and getting there. So, tell you what, let's just have a few announcements. We'll take up the offering here in a minute, but where'd the announcements go? Here we go. We'll let you know. Well, I believe Wednesday night, am I right, Esther? Wednesday night's the church conference meeting. Church conference meeting for all the visitors means that's basically what we have as now it's a Zoom meeting. You can get on Zoom and just basically watch, and we'll talk about the finances, talk about business, do a little bit of voting. Not too much arguing, you know, we don't fight. With Zoom going on, we can't put anybody in headlocks anymore. So it's kind of just a little more, no, we don't do that here. We really have a good time. But it's a good time. It lasts about a half hour, 45 minutes. That'll be Wednesday night at 6:30. I believe if not everything is in here, it'll be emailed to you this week. If you are a church member, you will receive the financials, the agenda, and everything that's in that for the church conference meeting. It looks like this. And here's all the meeting IDs and the passcodes and everything. We will start straight up at 6 o'clock. Oh no, 6:30. I'm sorry. 6:30 Wednesday night for our, we do it quarterly. I used to be in churches where you had monthly business meetings. It's like you just get wound down from the last one and have to get all back wound up again. So I love quarterly ones, but we will talk about anything and everything. But to be honest with you, I'm being serious as a heart attack. Anything that you want to know about the building, you already know because I tell you all right here. There's not going to be any new information Wednesday night. Like, oh, we got to join and make sure we listen Wednesday night to find out what's going on with the building. I'll let you know what's going on with the building. Friday, they were in here with the electric, and I believe some of the electrical wires are all going to be all covered up in the next day or two. They got the big electrical box and moved it out to where it's going to be hung on the pole out back. Next week, Monday or Tuesday, matter of fact, Tuesday or Thursday of next week, Jack and I are going to be walking through with the electrician to make sure it's hooked up to the power to the building. So we're going to have power. So you'll be able to turn a light switch on and you'll be able to see. So we'll have that done hopefully next week. The HVAC people are going to have that all the electrical ran to the HVAC. That's going to be done. If it wasn't done Friday, it'll be done Monday or Tuesday when we walk through by Tuesday afternoon. So the HVAC will have power. At that point, the city needs to come out and make sure everything's hooked up right, give us the okay, and we can completely cover up all the open ceiling tiles that are open. They are open for the city to be able to inspect. They are finishing up the floors. I believe, I don't see Robert here, but we need to go ahead and let Robert, that's the wrong Robert. I don't want him, well, you can build the stage. Anyway, we're getting ready to get that approved so we can get the stage built. It's okay to bring chairs in. So I want to get the chairs in the old building or in the old storage unit out here. We have 400 nice purple chairs, real nice and padded like the ones Floyd's sitting on. There's only one or two here as samples, but that's the ones that we have about 350 to 400 of them that we bought 3 or 4 years ago. We'll have them delivered probably. I want to make sure the padlocks get changed before we do that. If we're changing the locks to the building. And then the water, they're working on that. And things like that. So it's going pretty good. I'm encouraged. I'm excited. I'm positive. Any naysayer, I try to just look the other way because we are closer today than we have ever been. And that's a positive. And, you know, I was looking the other day. You know, Glenda sends out a thing every week that actually has our weekly offerings. And there's two different ways of looking at this. And I just want to tell you how I look at this, tell you how goofy I am, okay? We have last week's offerings, and this is what she shows us, last week's offerings, how much we missed the budget by last week's offerings, and how much off we are for the year. That's always the figures that we get every week. So after you give, and we're going to take up offering here in a minute. I try to stay away from what we are under because I don't want to get discouraged. But I don't ever look at when we're over $30,000 or $40,000 either, because then I start getting too big for my britches and say, hey, wait, we can really start spending the money now. I try to just overlook that. The figure that I look at, and all of you that get this report, is this one. ever since we started the Vision Fund back in February 2016, 5 years, our church, which is our church, has given over and above offerings. And I get this figure every week. $1,128,483 over and above our tithes and offerings. That is an awesome number. So when somebody calls me and says, Greg, I just don't think we're going to make it. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? You're looking at the wrong thing, because our people have given over and above. We've made budget plus we're giving $1,100,000 over in the last 5 years. Folks, if we do that in the next 5 years, we're debt free. That is awesome. And that's something to praise the Lord about. That's what it's all about. And it's just, you know, I think, and that's what we're going to focus on, because I'm getting ready to get into my sermon, and I don't want to, because matter of fact, I asked Don earlier, I said, are they going to cut us off at 11? Are we going to get to go over? And you caught that we're going to get to go over, just in case I get windy. But I really want to start looking at, and I'll talk to you about it in the sermon, how sometimes we focus on the wrong thing, and it gets us off step, out of character of who we are and what we need to be. And I want to encourage you, and I always try to warn you, the closer we get to getting inside of that building, fasten your seatbelts, because the devil is going to work harder at getting inside of this and inside of this and try to separate us. He's tried, I don't know how long. He thought he could get this beat by just keep delaying it. And maybe we, all the people would die off and we'll never get in there and we'll end up closing. And I don't look at it that way. God's preparing us and drawing us closer. Church, we have done that in this building. In this building. In a building that had video arcades in it. We've done what we have done, what you have given in this building. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in a building that holds 400 or 500 people? Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we can fill this up and put TV cameras in here and TV screens, to when we have overflow in that building that can overflow the kitchen? We can overflow this building and have 800 to 1,000 people watching at one time besides what's online, just in this building. I want to praise God for just one thing. Let's just praise God for one thing. We are the only church in the United States that has an 18-hole miniature golf putt-putt course. Amen. Amen. And it could be the only one in the world. But we have it. And some of you say, oh, we really need to clean that up. But we have it. We have it. God's blessed us. Besides, we got 5 acres of land, and I'm irritated that we lost that lot across the street. You see what they're doing? We should have bought that, church. But I want to let you know, when the gas station goes up for sale, we are buying it, because we're going all the way out to Broadway. I just want to let you know. It's going to happen. Okay, I'm done. Let's take up the offering, guys. If that don't prime your pump, you ain't never going to give. Come on up. But sometimes we focus on the wrong stuff, and we're not going to focus on it any. Oh, boy, what a jalapeno with a little kolache will do to you, man. I don't know.
It's going to put you on a diet.
Put me on a diet. I don't know about you, but it's hot in here. Gilbert, come up here so people can see your pretty mask. Gilbert's never looked better. With the mask on, he just looks awesome. If you would. Bless the offering, if you would, here, man.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to get together as a church, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And
yes,
we just thank you, Father, for the way that you provide everything that we need, Lord. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for saving us. And we thank you, Father, for the way that you just work, even when we have problems and situations and we suffer. Those are always things to see so that we can be transformed into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that.
Yes.
And Father, as we give today, gifts and offerings, Lord, I pray that you would bless them. And I ask that in accordance to your will, the way that you have blessed our lives, that we would give with a generous heart. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. May God bless you as you give and all the ministries they go to. Thank you. I love those songs. I'll tell you. Now there's one, and I it's one of those that you sing, but it's so much better without any music. And I have the words right here, but I think you'll know it. It's just an old one. I want you to hear the words as you sing along with me. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear. I'm ready for that. No more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a this ain't it. There's more to this than just what you're going through today. There's more to this than just the pain that you suffered this week. There's more to this than just all the negative stuff that the world's telling you to focus on. There's going to be a day where I get to shed all of this ugliness and all the scars that's happened to me emotionally and spiritually and relationshiply and, you know, the entire Lee family, okay? And I get to become like him. Doesn't get any better than that, folks. I can't wait to see some of the people that have gone on before. I can't wait to see the people that have passed on. But honestly, like that song, we're not going to sing that one because I don't even know where it's at. But when I walk in, I want to say, I want to see Jesus. And he's going to be there. His presence is going to be there. We're going to get to live inside the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just want to encourage you to, oh, boy, I don't know about you, but I'm getting excited. No matter what. No matter where you're at, I want you to say the same thing that Jesus said on possibly his worst days. On the days that his friends all betrayed him. On the day that one of his inner circle kissed him on the cheek and sold him to the people that was going to kill him. When you give a little and all you get back is kicked, talked about, slammed. I want you to use some of the same lines that's in this, one of my favorite songs. You just go ahead, because one day I'm going to rise again.
Say I'm dead and gone.
seek. You were wrong. When people tell me we just can't do it, because all that does, I just want to encourage you, all it does is gets me to say, hey Lord, we can't, but I know you can. Let's do it anyway. And next week, don't miss, because next week we're going to talk about all the naysayers. She's fine, Grandma. Get into your Bibles, if you would. I know what time it is. I think I only have 2 points. Before you go today, I have a handout. I don't know where they're at. I think they're under the cookies. They're in an orange folder. If somebody could stand at the door and hand these out. But I made a copy of these because I'll be referring to these two things in the message today. Make sure you write it down. No, it's just back there someplace. It's in an orange folder. It may be on Luann's desk there. Bright orange. And then you don't need it before church, but I just want to make sure you have a copy of it so you can take it home and use it. You know, a lot of people aren't living up to their potential. The last 2 weeks we talked about values and how I want 2021 to be some foundational truths. And I think the second one that I want to hammer in is that you need to live how God made you to be. I want you to see this phone. Do you realize the cell phones that we carry around right now has a more powerful computer than what the spaceships did that went on Apollo missions to the moon. And we carry them around in our pocket now. But you see all the power that's in this phone? Can you imagine using the phone for a whole different purpose? And I think I'm not going to use this anymore. I think that's what I'm going to use my phone for, just to hold up the piano lid. Now there's so much more than that phone can do, but that's all I'm going to use it for. And I think a lot of us are using just about that amount of our value and our worth and our potential in our world today. And you're satisfied with just being a doorstop or a piano lid holder upper. When you have the potential to have the power to take you with the Lord Jesus Christ to places outside of the universe onto the moon, you have the power there. And I want to show you how the devil manipulates us to believe that's all you're worth is a doorstop. It's just somebody, a warm body to fill a position. But God says, I have so much more. I want you to understand that you are more than what you think you are this morning. And you have more potential than what you ever, ever think you have. John 10:10. Find that in your Bibles, write it down in your paperwork, whatever. I just love that. That doesn't bug me a bit. I love when kids go play and there they go. She's running. You remember those days when you was all excited to go to the nursery? By looking at some of your faces, you all wish you could follow her. I know. To be honest with you, there's days I want to be out there too instead of doing this, but not kidding. I want you to see this real quick, and if we do go over a minute or two, I'm going to try not to, I promise. But John 10:10 goes like this. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a life that's rich and satisfy. The first point is we need to reject the lies that you've believed in all your life. Reject those lies that hinder you, that tell you you're not worth anything. You have no value. You can't be used. And believe you me, I battled this all my life. All my life. And I have sat in counseling offices with pastors on the other side of the desk that told me, Greg, you will never work in the ministry again because you are no longer usable. And I'd love to mention those names. But the first name, Claude, if I ever find you, I'll run you down. Told me I was no longer usable in church work. That was 35 years ago. 35 years ago. And I bought into that. And I want us to, as we look at your life, so don't take this about mine, make this about yours. I want you to know that if you start focusing on this, the devil wins. If you start recognizing and looking and seeing the way that he throws this stuff out at us and we start focusing on it, that's what you're going to start believing. Because focus always leads to feelings. Where our focus goes, the energy goes. I promise you that. It will always do that. Right now, look around the room and find all the red in the room. And just look and see how much red is in the room. Okay, you just look at that. Now close your eyes. How much green did you see? And where's it at? You know where the red's at, right? You can open your eyes now. Just, you know where the red's at, right? Have you ever noticed this? You go and you buy a brand new car, and you think this is the only person in Pearland that has this car. You get in it. As you get on the highway to go home, you pass over a dozen of the same car, the same color, and you're thinking, wait. It's because you never notice where your focus goes, your energy goes. And I want to encourage you, husbands or wives, if you think you're living with a scoundrel and you keep focusing on the scoundrel things and the bad things, they will never do anything right for the rest of their lives because you're focusing on the negative instead of remembering the positives. And it's always like that. Just a little free. Just three questions. This is all free for because of a clutchy, okay? Just three questions. Tell me, what do you focus on most? Three questions. On what you do have or what you're striving to get, what you're going to have. Think about that. Second question. What do you focus on? What you can control or what you can't control? Third question. Do you focus on your past or your present and future? Now, for years, 5 years, under the first question, we've been focusing on what we don't have yet, that building. And some days, I'm focused on what I can't control in that building. Mr. O'Day, you know, you can't control the city of Pearland. They will be here when they get here. And then sometimes we focus on the past. But let me encourage you, sometime this afternoon, if you're predominantly focusing on those things that you do not have, things that you cannot control, and the things that's in your past, the next stage is depression for you. You have to break out of that. Where your focus is, your energy goes. You will overlook all the blessings in life if you focus on what has left you and you wasn't ready to let him go. Let's be honest. Would you have ever been ready? No. So you have to focus on what I can control in that situation. Because the devil will come in and live inside of that gray matter of yours and say, this is somehow your fault. You should have said, you should have been nicer. You should have loved more. You should have acted quicker. You should have been there and it never would have happened. And he starts taking all this stuff that steals away your joy, your purpose. And he's a thief. He's a liar. He's a manipulator. And we all do this in our life. We all do this. And Jesus is saying, hey, wait, focus on the things you do have, the blessings that I have given you, what you can control, what we can do together, and not on what's happened in the past, but where you are right now and where you're going. And that's why I sang so many songs about there's coming a day. There's coming a day that I'm going to be in the presence of God. Talked to so many people yesterday on the phone. Talked to Carol Wells. And she was just smiling and laughing. Even though her body's really gone through, she's lost, I don't know how much blood and all this stuff. She got out of the hospital and all this stuff. And she said, well, I just was laughing. And I want you to keep praying for her. But she said, I guess there's still something left for me to do. And just giggle. I said, well, Carol, I think you're too ornery right now for God to take you anyway. So you might as well just sit back and enjoy it, you know. And you know, I talked to her, and I talked to, I'm going brain dead here. It'll come to me here in a minute. But there's so many people that if we get focused on the wrong thing, it'll take the joy away of what the rest of your life's going to bring. Oh, Debbie and Charlie Ertz. Charlie's in the hospital and dealing with an adverse amount of ammonia in his system. That's affecting a lot of stuff in his head. And so you keep praying for Charlie too. And, you know, Charlie has gone downhill ever since we baptized him. And that's not a very encouraging thing. But ever since he gave his heart to the Lord, and we baptized him. The devil has messed with him and his wife and Debbie. And keep praying for them. But we know there's going to be a wonderful outcome on the other side of it. But we get focused on the wrong things. There are spiritual forces in life, as we get back into this, we'll try to wind down here because I only got a couple points that want to steal what God has put inside of you and the life that he's put inside of you. These forces try to kill your dreams and your visions. It tries to destroy your joy. How many of you honestly, in just last 2 or 3 weeks, said to yourself, you know, enough's enough. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm dealing with too much negativity. Just not going to do it. The devil's going to win. You're in a position. You've been called to a purpose. Don't give up. This was brought out to me in a very real way this week when my boss called me Friday afternoon and said, Greg, I got something to tell you, but can you do me a favor and promise before I tell you that you won't get grumpy? And I thought, I don't ever get grumpy. And then I look back and I go, oh, wow. I get grumpy a lot. 2021, I don't want to be the grumpy old man no more. I want to be back to that positive Greg. You go ahead and hop on our hallelujah parade, because if not, you're going to be roadkill. And we're going to be so happy going through whatever we have to go through, because God's got a purpose. And we're not going to be the naysayers and complain about the manna that we're eating that is filling all of our guts, because promised land is just beyond and just around the corner. And I'm not going to be the naysayer, Mr. Negativity, anymore. I want to be back to that positive Greg, that no matter what, I have something to laugh about, something to smile about, and something good to see on the other side of this. Our future is absolutely so bright, you have no idea. Look around. This place is full. We are a year into COVID. Churches are closing every week, and this place is full. What do you have to complain about? Not a thing when it comes to that. Not a thing. And look at your own life. Stop looking at what you don't have anymore and what you do have. I have people complaining at work that because we're getting rumors back that they're going to start slowly coming back to work. They've all been working from home. I'm the only goofy one that's working from the office. Never stopped. From day one, I'm there every day. I'm the only goofy one. Everybody else got to go home, and they're in their fluffies watching Oprah and eating bonbons and answering an email every half hour. I'm working, you know, like crazy. And now that we're thinking about bringing everybody back to work, they're all going, oh, that drive, parking, and they're all moaning and groaning. I said, wait, you got a job. There's so many people that don't have a job. Are you kidding me? And we need to see how our vision gets off, and the devil tries to get inside of our heads and says, we're not going to be able to do it. There is nothing that's going to keep us from doing what God has called us to do, and be the same determining person in your own mind to do that. Nothing's going to keep us from doing that. If I drop dead, the next person that comes along will finish it. It's not built on me. It's not built on the school. It's not built on Jack or Esther or Glenna. It's built on Jesus Christ and the 102 plus years that this church has been here. It's built on that and all the prayer lives of people like Vivi that just pray over and over. All those folks that are homebound that couldn't get here and begged to get here. And some of you sit there in these chairs and go, oh, my fanny's getting tired. And they would give their right arm to be able to be in one of these chairs and make your fanny go numb in 45 minutes. Give their right arm for that. Don't let the devil steal that joy. Reject those lies that hinder you. There's three core lies. I'm not paying no attention, but go ahead and tell me when we hit 11. But there's three core lies that the devil tells you. I'm just going to read these real quick. One. The lie of I'm not. It's rooted in your identity. I'm not good enough. And I've been told that. I wouldn't even go there. There's no reason to go there. You know the story. Let's go biblically. Moses was a murderer. apparently couldn't talk very good. And God said, I want you to go to the big dog. I want you to go to Pharaoh and plead a case. Tell him to let his people go. Let your people go. And Moses did exactly what some of you do. Are you kidding? I'm not. I can't. Have you not seen my resume? I've killed. I can't even talk. I can't even talk in full sentence without stuttering. Are you kidding? No. There's probably somebody better. I'm not a leader. I'm not powerful. I'm not influential. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ, he wants you to be influenced by the truth of his I am, rather than the lie of your I'm not. And that's powerful. Lie number two, I can't. Lie number one, I'm not. Two, I can't. That lie is rooted in the belief in what you think you're capable of doing. You have no idea how many nights I've sat in my recliner and talked myself into that I can't do this anymore. I'm not the person to be able to do this. People walked out of my life. I'm damaged goods. I got baggage that can fill my Juke plus Curtis's car. But God says, Greg, that's why I'm using you. Because you can't. If I can use you, I can use anybody. And I love how the Bible does that. It encourages me, no matter how far down you've got, no matter if you're the prodigal son in that parable and your face is in the pig slop, you can always return back to the Father's house and you'll put a robe around you and say, it's time to get something done. He'll use you. That I can't is another lie. And the third lie is, what if? For the I can't, put down Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do all good things he planned for us a long time ago. Third, lie of what if. What if. This whole poem that I'll just hand out to you later by Edgar Albert Guest. Can't is the worst word that's written or spoken. I know what time it is. Take it home and read it. I'd love to read this too, but take it home and read it. The last line goes, the last paragraph. Can't is the word that is foe to ambition, an enemy ambushed to shatter your will. Its prey is forever the man with a mission and bows but to courage and patience and skill. Hate it with hatred that's deep and undying. For once it is welcomed, will break any man. Whatever the goal you are seeking, keep trying. And answer this demon by saying, I can. With God, with I am, all things are possible. And if you don't believe it, the other side tells you what you can do and who you are in Christ Jesus. Make sure you get one of these on the way out. Oh, boy. I'm going to stop there. We're going to do a two-parter. I don't want to take you another 10 minutes because people start writing me ugly things. But I'm going to stop right there because I think that's enough. What do you focus on? When you walk into your office, when you walk into your home, when your spouse walks in front of you, when your son or daughter pulls into their car, into the parking lot, and in their driveway, and they jump out and walk into the house, what are you seeing? Are you seeing the good things, or are you focusing on the negative? Are you seeing the problems, or are you focusing on the blessings? I did, I don't know how many hour seminar yesterday with people in Boston, and I was teaching them how to journal. and I asked them to write down, what makes you happy? And maybe you can write this down in your journal. And one young lady wrote, when I wake up and I look beside me and my grandbaby's asleep, there's no better joy than that. How many times, grandparents, has it irritated you that the grandbaby knocked over your candy dish one more time, spilled milk on the dining room table? Don't focus on that. Do like I used to do hours before I wanted to kill my children. A couple hours later, I'd be in their bedrooms watching them sleep and saying, God, you are so good. They're so precious. What are you focusing on? Don't let the devil come in and steal your joy. Don't let the devil come tell you, oh boy, one more year older. Boy, look, oh, I'm not going to be able to make it. You're up and walking. God's good. And we have such a heck of a future ahead of us. This week, watch and pay attention, because we're going to talk about the rest of it next week. What you're really focusing on and how to change it to the positive. Dear Lord, I just want to come to you and I thank you. Lord, I don't want to be the grumpy old man anymore. I don't want to be the person at the office that when they walk in, the first thing they think is, what's he going to complain about now? Break that in me. How do I learn that, Lord? That's not me. That's not what you want me to be. That's not what you want us to be. For all the people out there that only see the negative, wake us up. Open our eyes. We have one of the best church families on the face of this earth, no matter what our building looks like. And you are the one to be praised for that. And Lord, it gives us character. Let us keep smiling. Before we go to bed tonight, Lord, let us pull out a piece of paper and write down all the things I'm thankful for. And remember it. And then on another piece of paper, write down all the things that we've been focusing on. And then throw it away. Let's shift the focus and see you. I give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your patience if you're still with us. Thank you for the extra 5 minutes. You can bill me later this week for what that costs you per hour. I'll be glad to pay that invoice. Thank you all for being here. Come back next week.